Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church.
If you are single, is that good or bad? And should you be seeking a companion or a community? Believe it or not, this is our 26th episode in the Boundary Series with Dr. Rocky Ramsey. Today, we begin a message for those of you that find yourself single. What boundaries should you have?
Now, today's message is about boundaries and singles. And I want to give you these ways that boundaries apply to single people. This will apply to people who want to date and marry. It'll apply to people who don't do that, who may not wish to marry. So let's begin in your outline there. Observations for singles. Number one, first of all, you're to find your life in the Lord. We can't get life from each other. The Bible says that God has life in himself. The Bible says in John chapter 6, Jesus said that you do not have life in yourself. We don't have this life, this intangible that we had, that we need, that if we had that, everything would be right. Everything would be okay. But the good news is Jesus came and died to give us life. In fact, give it to us abundantly. So again, the Bible says we don't have what only he can give. The problem is when we don't get our life from him, we seek to get it from other people, maybe places or maybe thing. But nothing else but him and living in the center of his will ever be enough for us long term. Your identity is not someone's date or mate. You are God's person. You don't get your value from who wants to date you or marry you or be your friend. You get your value from the fact that God wanted you to be, God made you, God loves you, Christ died for you. And then you're to get your purpose from God. Your purpose should be to fulfill his plan for your life, not to have a certain group of friends or reach a certain economic level or marry a certain person or date a certain person. And then your fulfillment ought to come from the joy of being who you're supposed to be, not from what some other person does for you or gives to you. Now in your outline, I put two verses. One's Colossians 3:4, and there it says, Christ, who is our life. He's the only one that can give it to us. If we don't get it from him, we expect it from others who can't give it to us. And over time, that frustration grows that they're not giving it to us. They're not supposed to give it to us, and they can't give it to us. Christ is our life. And then Colossians 2:10 says, in him you have been made complete. So the only way we can be complete is in him. Because of sin, all of us have this void inside of us, this emptiness. And it's a God-sized emptiness that only God can fill. And nobody else can fill it. But if we don't get it filled with the Lord, we expect other people to fill it. They get frustrated because they can't. We get frustrated because they don't. No other person, place, or thing can fill that empty void that only God can fill. So fail to find your life in the Lord. And what you end up doing is using people to try to fill up that empty spot that's missing in your life. So the first question I asked this morning is, are you finding your life in the Lord? And then we go to number two. Number two, make your life about God and his purpose for it. Make your life about God's purpose for it. Number one, know who you were made to know. That's Jesus. Eternal life is not primarily about having your sins forgiven, even though they are. It's not primarily about going to heaven when you die, even though you do. It's not primarily about missing hell when you die, even though you do. Eternal life is primarily about having a personal relationship with the God that you were made for. Look at John 17:3 there in your outline. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. It's a relationship. Eternal life doesn't happen when I die and go to heaven. Eternal life happens, starts when I come to Christ. It's a relationship I have with God. Number two, be who he made you to be, like Christ. Romans 8:29 says that God's trying to conform us to the image of his son. God's goal in our lives is to make us like his son. We're to have our own uniqueness, but we're to have his character. The verse in front of that is Romans 8:28 that says, "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, those called according to his purpose." That verse, what it's saying is that everything that happens to us, good and bad, it doesn't say God does those things, but it says God uses those things to conform us to the image of his Son. See, too often our goal is to be happy, and God wants us to be holy. If your goal is to be happy, you're going to be unhappy a lot, because happiness requires good circumstances. But if you'll learn to be holy, you can be happy, because if you'll be holy, you can have God's joy. If you try to be happy, you'll eventually be unholy. You'll do something wrong to escape or numb the pain that you feel inside of this emptiness. But if your goal is to be holy, you'll eventually be happy, because you'll have God's joy no matter what the circumstance. Paul is on death row in a prison in Rome, and he writes the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is a book about how to have joy. Isn't that interesting that free people aren't writing that book? But the guy who's writing it, the guy who has it, is on death row. And he's telling people who are free how to have joy. Be who he made you to be. And then number three, do what he made you to do, his will. Ephesians 2:10, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. You weren't just created to be someone, you're created to do something. The early part of this verse says that God decided before you were even born what he wanted you to do. Now notice this verse in your outline, a very familiar verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The entire foundation of this verse is about seeking God first, knowing the God you're made to know. And he says, seek first his kingdom. That's doing what God made you to do. And then seek his righteousness. That's being who he made you to be. If I'll be who I ought to be and do what I ought to do and know who I ought to know, then it says that God will add all the things to my life that I need. So that's what I need to do. I need to give my life to that. I'll have this life that God wants me to have and that Christ died to give me if I'll put him first, knowing him, being like him, doing what he made me to do. Getting my identity, value, and purpose and fulfillment in him, my life isn't dependent on my circumstances. I can be okay at a funeral of somebody I love. I can be okay when I lost my job. I can be okay in any circumstance because I have something in me that regulates me. I'm not just bounced around by externals in my life. I'm not emotionally driven. I'm spiritually driven. Having life enables you to be okay when life isn't okay, and life isn't okay a lot. Now, all of us want to know that our lives matter. If you're loving God, you're serving others. If you're not serving others, you're not really loving God. If you're serving others, then your life matters. The people who mean something to you are the people who do something for you. The people who mean the most to you do something for you the most. So the more you serve God and others, the more your life is going to matter. If you do nothing and you become nothing, then your life doesn't really matter much. But if you'll do something, become someone, your life can matter a lot. So being who he made you to be, doing what you're made to do, will give you the personal fulfillment that God wants you to have. So see, all that is separate from whether or not you're married or single. What I've just told you has nothing to do with whether or not you have kids or 100 kids. It doesn't have anything to do with what kind of job you have or how educated you are. It's something every person can have, and that's what God wants you to have. Is your life about God's purpose or about lesser things? Now, let's talk to those of you who are single who probably would like to be married. Number three, seek a community, not a companion. Seek a community, not a companion. God is a relational God. He dwells in relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. Relationship is not just something God does, it's the very fabric of who God is. And he made us for relationships. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 36 to 40, we're given the greatest commandments by Jesus. They said, what are the greatest commandments? Here they are. Number one's about relationship. Love God first, most, and best. Number two's about relationship and love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to have relationship with him, and we're to have a relationship with others. We're to be in community, family. That's part of what a church does for you. Some of you have come from really messed up families. You can't have in a family what God wanted you to have in a family. But you can have it in a church if you'll get involved and be a part of people's lives. Look at Genesis 2:18. It says, it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, this verse doesn't mean that every person should or will be married. It does mean that nobody ought to be doing life isolated by him or herself. Now, when I say companion here, I'm talking about a date or a mate. So that's I'm using that in that sense. If you go seeking a companion, here's the good news. You'll probably find one. Now, here's the bad news. You might end up with the wrong one. Half of people who marry apparently do. And we'll let that settle in a bit. If you want a relationship, you can find one, but there's probably a good chance of it being the wrong one. Half of people who marry think that the right relationship is now the wrong relationship, that the right one is now obviously not the right one. That ought to scare all of us. Half the people who are convinced they found the right one later are convinced they married the wrong one. So don't go out looking for a companion. Instead, become a part of a community. If God has a plan to put you with someone, he's big enough to work it out without you manipulating it. Now listen closely to what I'm about to say. God has a plan for your life, and it's a good one. You get off that plan, you can wreck your life. But if you'll stay in God's plan, it's a good one. If God has a plan for you to be with a person, he'll work it out. He doesn't need you going on to igottagetadate.com or whatever else to find you somebody. God can work it out. He's big enough to do that. God brought Tracy Rogers from Titusville, Florida to Carson Newman College. Why did he do that? Because she was going to meet a guy named Grant. Actually, Grant won her on a dating show at the school. They married her. True story. Now, his daughter's at that school, and God brought a guy named Jack Tyler from North Carolina to play golf at Carson Newman. Why? Because he had a plan for Jack and Shelby's life. My Emily married a guy from South Mississippi, but God brought him up here to work a couple of summers, so he'd be at Walgreens where Emily worked one summer, and they met each other, and God worked it out, and so now they're married, giving me two wonderful grandkids. I got to tell you this, when Matt came over the first time, I didn't know him, so I was cleaning a pistol on the table as he came in. He's familiar with pistols. It didn't bother him at all, but anyway. God brought Betsy Brown from Lebanon, Tennessee to UT and then to Calvary Baptist Church so she'd run into me. And so we got married. If it's God's will for you, he'll arrange it. Do you think you want God's will more than he wants it for you? But see, if you go out manipulating what you want to happen, the good news is you can get a guy, you can get a girl. The bad news is the chances are highly likely that you're going to get the wrong guy and the wrong girl. The more involved you are in a community of friends, the less you'll have the emotional need for a companion. If you remember, King David ended up wrecking his life. The rest of his life was a mess, even though he's forgiven, with a one-night stand with a lady named Bathsheba. You know why that happened? Because David was alone and isolated and empty. His companionship had primarily come from his best friend, Jonathan, who had died in a battle. And in his loneliness, led to weakness, led to adultery, led to murder, led to a mess. So seek a community, not a companion. Number four, recognize loneliness is a part of the human condition, not just a result of being single. You say, well, I'm single and I'm lonely. Guess what? There's all kinds of married people who are lonely. And it's worse being married or lonely when you're married than it is when you're being single, because when you're single, you might be able to reason why you are, but when you're married, you think you're not supposed to be, but the truth is you still are. You may be 4 inches away in a bed, but you feel like you're all alone. Now, everybody who has any experience knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you're young, you're just going to have to take my word for it. We all feel lonely and alone at times. Do you feel lonely sometime? Welcome to the human race. Feeling alone at times is normal. How do you cure it? You cure it by getting involved in other people's lives. Being alone, living disconnected from others, is a choice. It's a bad one. Why? Because it's not good for man to be alone. So recognize there's going to be times when you're lonely, even if you're in a good marriage. It just happens. Our emotions can just go up and down, and small things can happen or big things can happen. They're not permanent, but they're real. Now, number five, remember that it's better to be single in God's will than to be married outside of God's will. It's better to be single in God's will than married outside of God's will. You've heard the expression, grass seems to grow greener on the other side of the fence. See, single people fantasize about how great it would be to be married. A lot of married people fantasize about how great it would be to be single. Now, that's the truth. Both have advantages, both have disadvantages. It's not best to be married or to be single. It's best to be in God's will. Now, we're not going to look at it, but 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 35, Paul says that being single is actually to be preferred over being married. If you're single, you can do whatever you think the Lord wants you to do. But once you're married, you've always got to consider your mate and your kids. If you got a little baby, you just can't do everything, can you? You go through seasons in life that determine how available you are. All those things happen in a marriage. It's not best to be single or married. It's best to be in the Lord's will. If it's God's will for you to be single, you don't want to be married. You don't want to be married. Number six, beware of being in love with being in love. This is huge. Beware of being in love with being in love. If you go looking for love, you'll find something that looks like love, but it might not turn out to be love at all. With a 50% divorce rate and 70% when people remarry with children, what looks like love doesn't always turn out to be love or doesn't turn out to be enough. Most people, girls especially, go into dating relationships with hopes of being married. They do everything they can to fall in love with this guy. And they do everything they can to get this girl or this guy to fall in love with them. And so that's the game that gets played. Instead, she should be guarding her heart, remaining morally pure, and trying her best not to fall in love. If you'll guard your heart, stay morally pure, try your best not to fall in love, you'll find yourself crazy in love with somebody. But it's not because of what you've done in each other's arms. It's because of what God has done in your hearts. And that's a whole different story, isn't it? A lot of people are in love with being in love. Some people are just in heat. You can go ahead and laugh if you want to. That is funny. But it's also true. A girl will give a guy sex and she thinks a girl will give a guy sex to get what she thinks is love. A guy will give a girl what she thinks is love to get sex. Now, I'm not going to say that again, but everybody with any age and experience in this room understands what I just said. If you're young, you need to take my word for it. If someone really loves you, he'll wait. Buy you a ring, lay down the rest of his life for you. The guy who dumps you because you don't give him sex is the very guy you don't want to marry. Believe me, you don't want to marry that guy. If he says, if you love me, you'll let me. I bet nobody's heard that in this room. Then you say to him, if you love me, you'll wait. You'll wait. The girl who won't put out is the kind of girl you want to marry. See, guys don't like to drive used cars, but a lot of them like to be in the antiquing business. You'll figure that out later. And I'm scaring you, aren't I? Everything I just said is so absurdly true. Don't miss it. Beware being in love with being in love. Number seven, stay away from fixer-uppers. Talked about this a little bit last week. Dating and marriages are bad places for therapy. We talked last week about people being who they are and the fact that you can't make them be somebody they are not. If you date and marry a mess, your marriage is going to be a mess. If you marry a damsel in distress, you're going to have a distressed damsel. Stay away from fixer-uppers. Number 8, use dating to discover a person. Never try to change a person you're dating. Dating is a time of discovery, not pursuit, discovery. The whole purpose of dating is to get to know someone to discover who that person is. Is this the kind of person I would be interested in spending my life with? Is this the kind of person I think would be a good husband or wife? Is this the kind of person I think would be a good father or mother? Is this the kind of person I think would be a good grandfather or a good grandmother? Who is this person? And so your whole goal is to get to know that person. Now, last week I talked about how we have blind spots and how we fail to see red flags in people that we're emotionally connected to the outcome. If I want this relationship to be a good one, I'll ignore all the red flags, get there. I'll live in denial. I'll create my own reality, and then I'll believe my own lies. And I'll convince myself that this person is who I hope them to be, not who they really are. And I'm telling you, it's always a train wreck in the end. When you go to date somebody, you don't need to hope they're anybody. You need to find out who they are. And by the way, you don't find that out making out. You find that out talking, being around them, doing things together. One of the most important reasons for deciding who you'll marry is that you can live with what you least like about that person. See, most people marry because of what they love most about them. But a lot of people got deal breakers in their trunk. And eventually you have to face the deal breakers. You married them because they're so funny or so good looking or so this or so that. But then you have to go home and live with their dysfunction and you find out that it's smothering and suffocating and unbearable. And you can't live that way the rest of your life. If you date to know, then you remain morally pure. If you do that, you're not emotionally committed to the outcome. Your commitment is to finding out who this person really is. And if you'll date that way, you'll be able to see the red flags and you'll be able to spot and take the exit ramp. Okay, I just found out something about him, not the kind of person I want. I got two options, be smart and get out of this relationship, or number 2, I'll stay in the relationship and my love will change him. Let me hear an audible gasp from all you people with any experience. No, your love won't change you. The red flags will become danger signs. And you need to be yourself. Don't try to be who you think they would like. See, here's what happens in marriage. I want this to work, so I'm going to figure out who I think you'd like, and that's who I'm going to be. I'm going to hide who I really am. I don't think you'd want that person. And then the other person doing the same thing. So you got two people getting married who don't even know each other. And how many times does somebody get married 4 or 5 months later, they say, I don't even know this person. Well, of course you don't. They were hiding from you the whole time, and you were hiding from them. You want to know, what's he do when he gets angry? What does she do when she doesn't get her way? You say, well, I don't know. Well, don't marry him till you find out. That's going to be a big deal someday. Be yourself. If they don't like you the way you are, you don't want to be married to them. Doesn't that make sense? But too often, it's two people pretending to be what the other wants. All you married people can confirm this. After the wedding, any pretending stops. Well, he didn't go to church, but he started going because I was going. He probably's not going to keep going. Well, he drank some, but he quit drinking because I told him I wasn't going to marry a guy who drank. Guess what? He's going to be drinking again. And the list could go on and on and on. Gold does change people. It takes the masks back off. So beware of having a fantasy about who a person is. Now here's number 9. Never compromise moral standards in dating. Never compromise moral standards in dating. God's plan for relationships is moral purity. Let's say you don't believe in God or the Bible. The best plan for relationships is moral purity. When daters stay pure, hearts don't get broken. If you don't mess around and mess up, there is no breakup. There's just an end to the relationship. We figured out this isn't the one. There's no heartbreak. You weren't that emotionally dug in. But when you get physical, you emotionally dig in, and it is a breakup, and at least one of the people, sometimes both, get broken. And then they go into the next relationship broken. Not well, broken. Especially in cases of divorce, which I'll talk about here in a moment. When you do it right, when you stay pure, hearts don't get broken, souls don't get damaged, mistrust doesn't get sown, emotions get purified, and real love gets recognized. I love this guy. We've never even kissed. I love him, and I want to be with him the rest of my life. That's a good sign. But if you've been with each other a lot, in ways you shouldn't be, I guarantee you your emotions are red hot. But they may have nothing to do with genuine love. Now look in your outline at 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 8. This is the will of God. Stop. You know, people are always wanting to know, what's God's will for my life? I'm about to tell you. This is plain as day. If there's nothing else you can figure out what God's will for your life is, this is one you can. What's he going to say? This is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, he's going to explain it. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress or defraud his brother in the matter. Because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we told you before and solemnly warned you. Now, what's it mean to transgress or defraud? It's to create a desire. It's to in someone that if they fulfill that desire, they will have sinned. It's to be sexy and seductive to get his attention.
If you enjoyed today's message, we want to invite you to join us live this Sunday morning. We have a special production called Coryton Live. It's built just for you. So tune in live at coryton.online.church. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Coryton Cast, the official podcast of Coryton Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CorytonChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Coryton Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day.